Let's start in a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee and praise Thee for bringing us to Sunday school. We thank Thee for the rain, and now the rain has subsided. We praise Thee and thank Thee. For Thou quenched the thirsty earth with Thy rain and preserved all the nature and life on this earth. We thank Thee for good health and strength and peace, comfort. We praise Thee and exalt Thee on high, for Thou art merciful and gracious God. Thou preserves our lives despite our sins and our transgressions. Thou knowest that we are made of dust, and Thou forgive us always and restore us always. We pray for today's last class for the year, that Thou will teach us many things through the Holy Spirit, and we have teachable hearts, and that we will apply Thy word in our life. To Thy praise and glory, we ask all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. Today we are going to talk about David's advice to Solomon. David is approaching his last days on earth and will be promoted to glory. And it's an important thing that we learn here, that it's important for us to pay visits to our elderly, those who are getting on in age and about to leave this world, that there are many important things that they can impart to us about life, how they have lived on earth, and their wisdom and their experiences, and how we can learn from all these things so that we can live better and wisely. So this is what David will be doing here in this particular lesson. And before that, I have an announcement. Last lesson of adult Sunday school class at the sanctuary is today, and this class will resume on 8 January. Elder Ng Beng Kiong will be teaching on the Epistle of Paul to the Romans. So from after today, there will be no more class until 8 January. And if you have any, there's no need for you to register. Just come for the first class on 8 January next year. And if you have any inquiries, you may call Deacon Terence Tan. Telephone number is on the screen. So background. David's death was near, and he gave his final word to Solomon. So you see David there, and then Solomon listening to David. So he gives his final advice. He said, "Be strong and act like a man. Observe the requirements of the Lord so that you will be successful." 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 3. Why be strong and act like a man? Because Solomon is king, and he has to be a strong king to withstand all his enemies and opposition. And of course, when David spoke, he spoke with experience. David had many enemies as king. And David had to be strong. So in the same way, he knows Solomon will have many enemies. Already he had his brother who's opposing him. And there will be many more enemies along the way. So to be a king, though it comes with power and might and honor, it also comes with a lot of responsibilities and distress, like the experience of David. So David spoke through his experience and advised Solomon to be strong and act like a man. Observe the requirements of the Lord so that you will be successful. Yeah. Again, this is with experience. He told Solomon, observe the requirements of the Lord. Very important. So that you will be successful. If you don't, you will not be successful. Yeah? So it's clear and succinct. All this is through the experience of David, the father. And he is imparting this advice to Solomon, his son, and king after his death. And then he went into many details. Huh? So that's why you see, all these details are important to Solomon as king, because he will be facing these difficulties after the death of King David, his father. So his father, David, is going to tell him all the details that he must be watch out for. Yeah? And he said, take action against Joab because he murdered two of David's army commanders, Abner and Amasa. So Joab is a person to watch out for, David told Solomon. You must take action against Joab because he murdered two of David's commanders, Abner and Amasa. Okay? So what happened in this episode with Abner? Saul's and later Ish-bosheth's commander Abner killed Asahel. Saul had a very faithful and brave commander called Abner, General Abner. And of course, after Saul's death, General Abner served under the son, Ish-bosheth. And there was a conflict because Abner was on the side of Saul's family and Joab was on the side of David's family, right? And so there was a conflict. And in that conflict, Abner killed Asahel, Joab's brother. And Joab sought revenge and killed Abner. So it was not a matter of honorable fight with Abner. Joab did a very dishonorable thing. It was peacetime, and he deceived Abner into thinking that everything was well, and quietly killed him, murdered him. Yeah, and I'll come to the story straight away now. So what happened was, at the start, Joab and Abner met at the pool of Gibeon. This was at the time when Joab was in David's camp, and Abner was in Ish-bosheth's camp, son of Saul. Saul passed away in the battle with the Philistine. Yeah? So you look at this is the pool where they met, and each army was on one side of the pool. Yeah, then there you have Joab once seated there, and Abner seated on the other side of the pool, and they met, and they are in opposite camp. And Joab, David's commander, and Abner, their men, met. They decided to have hand-to-hand sparring session by 12 men from each side. It's like a sports, you know, sports, like boxing match, you know. You pick your 12 best fighters, I pick my 12 best fighters. Let's have a sparring match as a sports. But each of the men thrust his sword into his opponent, ending the lives of 24 men. So that was the start of the big fight between the two armies. A fight between two sides started. Asahel chased Abner. Asahel was the brother of Joab. Yeah? Chased Abner. Abner did not want to fight Asahel, as if he killed Asahel, Abner would not be able to maintain friendship with Joab anymore. Asahel was Joab's brother. Asahel refused to back down. Abner killed Asahel. So the situation in which Asahel was killed was in a conflict situation. Abner was running away. Asahel was pursuing closely behind. Abner turned around and said, "Please do not pursue me. If you do, I will have to kill you. And if that's happened, Joab and I will be no longer be friends." So Asahel refused, pursued on, fought with Abner. Abner killed Asahel. You can say it's a matter of self-defense for Abner when he did that, because he already warned Asahel, don't come. If you come, I will have to defend myself, and you may be injured and killed. Asahel went ahead, and he was killed. So Abner was a brave and honorable soldier. Yeah, he was a brave and honorable soldier. So much later, Abner reconciled the kingdom of Saul and David together. So after Asahel was killed, Abner left the scene. Joab's army left the scene. Of course, Joab was very grieved by the killing of his brother by Abner, and he saw that he would take action against Abner. Yeah. So sometime later, the family of Saul was weak and disappeared. Yeah, went into oblivion. And Abner and the army sort of reconciled Saul's side of the people with David's side of the people. And David became king of the whole of Israel. So what that means is that Abner now served David as general. Ish-bosheth is now gone. Saul's family is gone. Okay, so meaning that Joab and Abner, both generals, now serve under David. But Joab still harbored revenge against Abner. He took Abner aside and without warning killed Abner. So this was a terrible thing that Joab did. He committed murder through deception. It's supposed to be one big family now. Abner and his army, Joab and the army, they all serve under King David. But Joab harbors revenge and hatred against Abner for killing his brother Asahel. And so he said, Abner, I want to talk to you. He brought Abner to one side, took out his sword and just plunged it in. Abner didn't know what was coming. So Joab, dangerous man to watch out for. On the front, he looks good to you, friendly, but at the back, he harbors murderous thoughts, and he killed Abner. Yeah? So David now warned, the second warning to Solomon. Joab was displeased with Amasa for his slowness in carrying out a task and killed Amasa. Amasa is another senior army officer of David. David ordered Amasa to summon the men of Judah to him within 3 days. Yeah, Amasa took longer than 3 days. I think there was some conflict between David and another group of people. There was a rebellion coming up, and then David said, call Amasa to me as quickly as possible. Amasa took longer than 3 days. As a result of the delay, a rebellion against David was brewing quickly. Somewhat later, when Joab met Amasa, he pretended to be friendly to Amasa, but killed him with a sword. Similar to the thing that he did to Abner. Yeah? They are both compatriots serving under David. Friendly forces, colleagues in the same army. But because Amasa was tardy, perhaps, in doing a task, Joab killed Amasa quietly. Again, we are colleagues, like to talk to you about a matter, and then plunge a sword into him. Amasa was not prepared at all. So it was murder after murder. Joab was deceptive in catching Amasa off guard and killing Amasa. So David came to know about these two murders, and he said, Solomon, make sure you deal with Joab. He's not to be allowed to get away leniently. He has murdered two of David's good men. So, and then David talked about Barzillai. Be kind to sons of Barzillai, the Gileadite, because they took good care of David when he fled from Absalom. Spiritual lesson, if we act righteously, God will reward us. The sons of Barzillai acted righteously, taking care of David, and God rewarded them. So, important, you see, to learn from someone who is getting on in age, where experience the various events and circumstances of men. And they know what goes on behind the thoughts and hearts of certain men in the midst, because they have gone through experiences with them. So has David, who has learned about Joab, learned about the murders that took place. All these, not many people would know, but those who are experienced in life, who have gone through years of living on earth, they would know people, their hearts, their motives, and what ought to be done to them. Yeah? So Solomon took note of what David said to him about Joab. And also David told Solomon about Barzillai, to take care of the sons of Barzillai, because they are good people. Again, David experienced the goodness of these people and then told Solomon, these are good people, take care of them. So important that we also take care of people around us, because your deeds will be remembered. Yeah? And people will also take care of you later on in life, because they remember when they are in trouble, you help them. Things like that are not that easily forgotten. So when people are in need, help them with the love of Christ, and they will remember. One other lesson that I want to talk about this issue of sparring between two sides is this, that it's a slippery slope theory. Yeah? I wrote here under spiritual lesson, slippery slope, because these two are opposing army at that time when Ish-bosheth was alive. Abner was on Ish-bosheth's side, Joab was on David's side. If you're going to have a sparring session in the name of sports, knowing that we are opposite sides, we all know what is the conclusion, that there will be a fight, there will be a conflict. So in the same way for us, don't try to tempt fate, so to speak. If let's say I'm an alcoholic, I recovered, I'm not going to say, oh, let me just have a little sip of wine. Since it's a happy occasion tonight, there's a party, I'm not going to disappoint everybody. Let me have a little sip to enjoy wine when I'm a recovered alcoholic. Because we all know what will happen. The slippery slope. A sip will cause you downhill all the way, and I'll be addicted again. So when we are placed in situations, remember how it would affect you. Do not let this slippery slope get hold of us. Yeah? If we are easily, if we have a trouble spot, don't go near that trouble spot anyway. Be as far as possible from the trouble spot. It may be alcoholism, gambling, drug. If you have such thing, don't say, Let me try a little. It's just a little bit. It's okay. Yeah. The slippery slope theory in Joab and Abner. Then David talked about Shimei to Solomon. Take action against Shimei, who had cursed David while fleeing. You remember the episode when David and his men was fleeing away from Absalom, away from Jerusalem towards the forest of Ephraim, and then halfway through Shimei confronted David and threw stones and cursed David because Shimei was on the side of Saul and said, good for you, David. See, now you deserve to run away and your son is coming after you and going to kill you. You deserve to die. And Shimei cursed David while he was still king, right? Running away from the son. And of course, David knew that Shimei was up to no good and told Solomon, be careful of Shimei. So God punishes for sins. Shimei was not genuine in seeking forgiveness. In the same way, when we are not genuine in seeking for forgiveness and repentance, God will punish. So shortly after that, David died and Solomon succeeded David. So all these important points was locked into the mind of Solomon. Very important points that David noted in his experience, in his life, about various people. What motivates them? Who are the ones you have to watch out for? Who are the ones that you can trust? David imparted all this wisdom to his son, Solomon. And Solomon kept a watch on Joab, Shimei, various other people. So, not easy to be king. You have all the glory and honor and splendor of kingship, but it comes with responsibilities and also many enemies who are waiting to overthrow you, and you have to be on your watch all the time. So, the lesson to us is we have to learn from our elders. They have gone through life and they have experienced various people. They know what drives, what motivates humans. They know each and every one whom they have come across. So if you learn from them, it will be to our advantage. We will live life all the better and the wiser. So we come back to Adonijah. He tried to assert control and was executed in 1 Kings 2:13-25. You recall in my last lesson, Adonijah was unhappy, and although the indication was Solomon was to be king after David, Adonijah organized a huge party, invited all the brothers, all his brothers. Adonijah is a son of David. And he felt that he should be the next king, not Solomon, because Solomon is younger than him. But David came to know about it and told Nathan, Zadok, Bathsheba to put Solomon on his mule, the mule ridden by the king, and bring him to the lake Gihon to anoint Solomon as the next king. Prophet will be there and the priest will be there to anoint Solomon as the next king. So when all this was carried out, it was clear to all Israelites that David wanted Solomon to be the next king, not Adonijah. And Adonijah cried before King Solomon, asked for forgiveness because he knows that This is a treasonous offense. Traitorous to the king, he will be executed. And Solomon forgave Adonijah, and now Adonijah is trying to assert control once again in this subsequent episode. And he went to Bathsheba, and he said, "Thou knowest the kingdom was mine, and that all Israel set their faces on me, that I should reign." 1 Kings chapter 2, 15. So now he has another plot in his mind. He went to Bathsheba and told Bathsheba, "You know that I'm supposed to be reigning, and even the whole of Israel expect me to reign, to be the next king, not Solomon." So you see, wild ambition. Even after his first failed attempt, he's trying again to wrest power from Solomon. So in Adonijah's camp, you have Joab, the general, Abiathar, the priest. Knowing that Solomon would agree to Bathsheba's request, Adonijah approached Bathsheba to request to King Solomon for Adonijah to marry Abishag, David's consort. This would strengthen Adonijah's power by including Abishag. Abishag is a consort of King David. So if Adonijah marries Abishag, Adonijah's position will be elevated. Yeah? Because they all respect David's wives and all David's concubines and consort. A higher tier in terms of royal respect. So that's where Adonijah is going. If I can have David's consort Abishag, I will have more power. And so he went to Bathsheba, mother of Solomon, and said, "Bathsheba, if you can ask King Solomon for permission for me to marry Abishag, because he knows that Solomon is the son of Bathsheba, and most likely he would consent to whatever the mother requested." So he went through the mother, yeah, to get Solomon's permission. So Bathsheba made Adonijah's request to Solomon. Solomon knew Adonijah was building his power to seize the throne again. And Solomon ordered the execution of Adonijah. So, spiritual lesson is when we have been punished for our sin, like Adonijah in the first round, do not sin again, lest greater punishment comes from God. This is what Adonijah did. First time round, tried to wrest power from Solomon. He failed. He tried again. A different tact, a different plot, through Solomon's mother. And of course, Solomon was firm, decisive, and knew Adonijah's motivation to have Abishag as his wife. He told Bathsheba, "If you want me to approve Abishag to marry Adonijah, you might as well ask me for the whole kingdom for Adonijah." He saw through, straight away, what Adonijah was up to, because God has given him wisdom. And so Solomon punished Adonijah. So let us learn from this. Even in our on earth, we have this saying, "Once bitten, twice shy." Yeah, you don't get yourself bitten second time round. Yeah, that's terrible. We have never learned if we do that. Yeah, but this is what Adonijah did. So Joab was executed. Yeah, after executing Adonijah, next Joab. Because Joab conspired with Adonijah, usurped the throne, Solomon ordered his execution. Shimei was executed. Shimei disobeyed the king Solomon's orders to stay in his house. Solomon gave order for Shimei to be executed. All these people were given sort of second chances, and yet they violated the king's orders and they were executed. So both Joab and Shimei were got rid of, and it was partly David's advice to King Solomon. These people, you have to watch, take action against them, for they have not changed. They have not repented. So what is the spiritual lesson here on the life of David? I'm going to sort of now have an overall roundup on our series of the life of David. We see sin gives rise to punishment. Yeah? You look at all the narrative in Scripture from the time of King Saul, how he disobeyed God in not destroying the whole of the Amalekites. He kept Agag, king of Amalekite, alive. He kept all the livestock alive, yeah, for his own pleasure. I mean, of course, from a human point of view, that is clever, right? You don't destroy everything. You keep the best, the spoil of war for yourself, for your people. But that is not what God wanted. God wanted total destruction. You don't keep anything. All human beings, all livestock, everything destroyed. And that is God's command and order. And Saul should have known better to keep God's command. Absolutely. And he told a lie to Samuel later on. No, no, no. These are to sacrifice to God, to your God. Yeah. The other people, that they wanted to keep the spoil, not me. So all sorts of excuses came out from Saul. And God was furious with Saul. And God told Samuel to tell Saul, the kingdom, your kingdom will be given to another person. That was Saul's punishment. So, sin for disobeying God's command gave rise to the punishment of Saul. Kingdom will be given to another person. David. And even David himself committed adultery and murder. Punishment, 4 of David's sons had to die. Yeah, you remember Prophet Nathan going to David and saying, you are the rich man who have taken the lamb, the ewe lamb, from the poor man. You are that rich man. And you have, King David said that the rich man must compensate 4 times to the poor man. 4 of your sons will die. And not only that, there will be conflict and violence in the family. The sword will visit your family. The sword representing fighting, conflict, violence, death will be in your family. And that's what happened. Amnon committed sexual assault on his half-sister Tamar, sexual violence. And Amnon was killed by Absalom. Absalom committed murder and rebellion against David. Proud man, he wanted the kingdom for himself. And he was wooing the Israelites every morning at the city gate, inquiring after them, and that if they have a controversy, he would be the judge to able to help them in their dispute with a neighbor, trying to buy their love and admiration. And so the whole of Israel was for Absalom. And then he started a rebellion against the father, King David. And in that fight, in that battle in the woods, Absalom was killed. Absalom was defeated and killed in battle for his sin. Yeah? Murder and rebellion. He murdered his brother Amnon for sexually assaulting his sister Tamar. And he staged a rebellion against his father. Yeah? And so he was killed, defeated in battle. Adonijah, he rebelled against Solomon, and he was executed. So you see, scriptural narrative shows us various people with different motives. And what is clear is when there is sin, it gives rise to punishment from God. But what is the difference between David and the rest? We come to the second point of forgiveness and repentance. What set David apart from the others was that he sought forgiveness from God and repented with a broken spirit and contrite heart. Okay. This is where David stood out from all the other people. Yeah? And let me read to you Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is a psalm where he cried out to mercy to God. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and thus is evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. This psalm was composed by David himself. He's saying about himself, you know. He cries out to God, have mercy upon me. Why does he need mercy? Because he was punished. He needs mercy because he has done a wicked thing, a sinful thing. God is going to punish him. And he's crying out, have mercy. So this is what David is. He sought forgiveness with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. And you look at Saul, he never did ask for forgiveness. He never did cry out to God with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. So didn't Absalom, so didn't Amnon or Adonijah. What all of the rest did, they did it for themselves. He didn't say, God, forgive me for my greed in wanting to take over the whole of the kingdom for myself. Amnon didn't cry out to God for forgiveness after assaulting his sister. Terrible offense. Offense of violence, even among the same family. Absalom didn't cry out for forgiveness from God. Adonijah didn't cry out for forgiveness from God for his ambition to want to take over the whole kingdom. Only David. And therefore, when David and God was with David, and he ended well, the others ended badly without God. So in the same way, we must seek forgiveness and repent of our sins. God will be faithful to forgive us and restore us. Because nobody here can say that we are sinless. We all have sin. The difference is we must go to God for forgiveness and repentance with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. And God will forgive and restore us. What we must not do is end up like Saul, Absalom, Amnon, Adonijah. And we will end up badly if we follow after their path. And so you see, despite all the trials that David went through, the conflict, the violence in his family, sons going to kill him, trying to wrest the kingdom away from David, God preserved his life. God preserved his kingship. That's notwithstanding that he has committed murder and adultery himself. But God preserved him. And his kingship was restored back to him. Therein lies the difference between him and the rest. God restored David because he sought forgiveness and repented with a contrite spirit and a broken spirit and a contrite heart. So this is the important spiritual lesson that we must learn. Not that we can be completely sinless. We can't. Because our forefathers, our Adam and Eve sin and the original sin has come into us. We are all tainted with sin. Pride, arrogance, materialism in this world, which is very real in Singapore. We are all tainted with it. But the difference is, we go to God. We have a God. We go to God seeking forgiveness and repenting with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. No use saying, God, forgive me, and the next day commit the same thing again, same sin, and then ask for forgiveness, and the next day you commit the same sin of pride and arrogance, and you ask for forgiveness, and that's not going to work. Determine not to do it again. It must come with determined and sacrifice. So the third point is the sovereignty of God. Sovereignty of God means God is all-powerful and in absolute control of all events and circumstances. You recall the scripture narrative. Despite Saul and his army's pursuit of David, David emerged victorious against Saul and took over the kingdom in accordance with God's sovereign will. David at that time was a nobody. He was a shepherd boy. And of course he defeated Goliath. And then he became a fugitive because Saul was after him. Full of jealousy against David because the people were saying, Saul has slain his 1,000 and David his 10,000. Saul was very jealous. How can the people say I only destroyed 1,000 and David 10,000? He might as well take the kingdom from me. I'm going to go after David and kill him. So David had to escape. So he was a nobody, you know, escaping like a fugitive. And yet, Saul's army could not capture David, could not kill him. David hid from mountain after mountain, different villages and different cities with his followers. Saul was not able to capture David because it was God's sovereign will that David was going to take over the kingship from Saul. David must not die under God's sovereign will. So you have the King Saul going after fugitive David and not able to accomplish his requirement to kill David because of God's sovereign will. And you look at Absalom's rebellion against David. David had to escape from Absalom, ran away from Jerusalem. Absalom was the victor. He took over the whole of Jerusalem. That what became his headquarters. And now his father, King David, was a fugitive, running away from his son, Absalom. And Absalom continued to pursue, to want to kill King David. And yet, in that battle, Absalom was killed. King David's life was preserved. The sovereign will of God. Sovereign will of God. So we must remember this. Our God is all-powerful, in absolute control of all events and circumstances. If His will is to have a certain event to happen, nothing can change that. Absolutely nothing. Because of the sovereignty of God. So you see, the narrative in Scripture, the weak have become strong, and the strong weak. The sovereignty of God. And this is what we must remember. Yeah? So if we are on the side of Almighty God, we will have no fear. If we are on the side of Almighty God, we will have no fear. And how can we be on the side of Almighty God? Psalm 34:15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The eyes of the Lord, that means who God watches over, who God protects and shield and defend, care for, are the righteous people. Who are these righteous people? They are the ones who do not lie, who do not slander other people, who do good and turn from evil, and those who pursue peace. Simple. It's all in Scripture. And I would like to repeat this passage to you in Scripture. Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. That means those who seek the Lord will have good things. Come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many good days, that he may see good? What sort of men are those that will have many good days? What sort of men are those that will see good in his life? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Do not use your speech for evil. Yeah? Do not speak ill of other people, be engaged in contentious and wicked arguments, and speak guile is lie, do not lie. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. So this is the important ending of today's lesson. And it's just not good enough to know the verse. We must be determined to apply the verse in our life. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for Thy goodness to us and for the important lesson in David's life, sin and punishment, forgiveness and repentance, and the sovereignty of God. Teach us, therefore, to follow Thy ways, Thy commands, and Thy word. Let us not depart from it. For we desire to see many good days and be blessed by Thee. And Thou hast said, Lord, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. So let us be righteous. Let us do Thy will, obey Thy word, and do what is a delight to Thee. And Thou will have Thy eyes upon us and Thy ears open to our cry. Protect us, shield us, and guide us in these many difficulties and trials of this life. So we pray for Thy forgiveness of our sin with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Many of us have many sins, and we seek Thee for forgiveness. For we know, Lord, that without Thy forgiveness, we will have a bad result. We have read the many troubles in David's life, and we desire nothing more than to be like David, seeking after Thee, crying out for mercy to Thee, and repenting of our sin, never to do it again. So we thank Thee and praise Thee for Thy loving care, Thy goodness to us. We thank Thee and praise Thee for healing us of all our diseases and illnesses. We thank Thee and praise Thee for not dealing with us according to Thy wrath, but Thou hast been merciful to us in delivering us from all our sins and restoring us to Thy love. We thank Thee and praise Thee in Christ's precious name. Amen.